Good morning. I want to welcome each of you to service here this morning. Just thinking as Kyle was sharing there, sometimes with this week was another example of COVID changing plans, changing what I was planning on doing today. But that's okay. Do it as it comes. Most of the things are connected to something that I either experienced or something that I could see. Like I said, sometimes these 10 grown men, 9 of them forgot to say thank you too. And sometimes, as I was thinking about it, it's like sometimes we could say, why didn't they remember? But as we go through the story, I want each of you children to think about what if one of those men would have been your dad? He might have been the one that remembered to say thank you, but if one of those men would have been your dad, what would have been going through your mind as we go through the story? Obviously, we're talking about the story of the 10 lepers that Jesus healed, but what is leprosy, or what are we talking about with leprosy in the Bible? There's different places where it talks about that they were as white as snow, or they look like snow. The dictionary said it's a skin disease that appears on your skin, sometimes over your whole body. It's dry, thin, white, crispy, flaky type of disease. And I think sometimes when big snowflakes come down and they land all over your coat, you have a rough texture on your coat or on your arm if you don't have a coat on. And it was often really itchy, and people would scratch themselves and scratch it open. And so there was a lot of pain involved with it as well. And then as it progressed, once you were diagnosed, or once the priest said you were unclean, you could no longer live with your family or among other people. You had to live outside the city. And so often they would band together in groups for protection and to gather food and that sort of thing. And then as the disease continued, they would lose feeling in their fingers, in their limbs, and they would be able, if they would get a cut or a scratch, it could start getting infected. And so it would eat away at their flesh as time went on. Not really a pretty picture, but this is where these men found themselves. So with that, we're going to read Luke 17, verses 11 to 19. And it's interesting that Luke is the only one that has this account spelled out like this. So Luke 17, verses 11 to 19. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, Where were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. We don't know a whole lot about these men. We know they were lepers. There was 10 of them. One of them was a Samaritan, and they got healed. And 90% of them forgot to thank Jesus for the gift of life that he gave them. And in that culture, the only way you could get back to society was to have a priest say you were clean. And so when Jesus said, "Go show yourself to the priest," they knew very well what that meant. In verse 13, we see that it almost seems like they were waiting for the day when they would see Jesus. It seems like they must have heard about Jesus before, because as soon as they saw him, they started calling with a loud voice and asking for mercy. And they recognized Jesus for who he was. They called him Master. And they didn't only call him Master, but the faith that they displayed by their cry for help and then their willingness to start walking as soon as Jesus said, "Go show yourself to the priest." They didn't immediately get healed. They started walking. They started going to the priest. And that's when they realized that they were healed. And I don't know if when they realized they were healed, if they started running. It seems like that would be the natural response. I mean, if you were in their situation, we don't know what family situation they had, but if you were living away from your family, I think that would be my first response, would just be to run to the priest to get to my family as soon as I could. But yet the Samaritan, he used the same loud voice that he called for help to thank Jesus for his healing that he experienced. And I don't know how far they got, if it was on the first step or if it was three or four steps. But he couldn't have went far because he was still close to Jesus, and he went back, and he thanked him for healing him. I found a saying that said, "Help meets men on the path to obedience," and there's different accounts in Scripture of healings and things like that where the person receiving the healing was required to make a move, to dip seven times in the Jordan, different things like that. They were required action before they were healed. Not always, but there are some times. And I was just thinking, you know, if sometimes I'd kind of like to be healed before I start walking, before I am asked to do anything, I want to experience the miracle before I show any response. And I had to think, you know, if these men would have all stood around and looked at their arms or the fingers, whatever, to see if they were healed, would have they gotten healed if they didn't start going to the priest? And then how many times do I hinder God's work, the work that God wants to do in my life, because I'm not willing to start walking? I'm not willing to start doing what he asked me to and let him work in his time. The one that came back was a Samaritan. He came back and worshiped Jesus with the same loud voice that he called for mercy. And I think that's a lesson that we sometimes can be vocal and make our needs known and yet forget or not be as vocal when we experience a miracle, when we experience God's power in our lives, to share that with others around us. In verse 19, it says, "Jesus said, 'Thy faith hath made thee whole.'" they were all cleansed. And yet it said, he says, thy faith hath made thee whole. One thing I remember from our pastor in the church that I grew up in, he had a missing finger. I don't remember. It was his pointer finger, but I don't remember which hand it was. But he always said he doesn't think that Jesus would have said, you are whole if you had a finger missing. He said he thinks that if they had any fingers or whatever, there was no scars or scabs left. When Jesus said to him, you're whole, he was complete. He was restored to the way it was before. A lot of commentators think, and I think it was probably a combination of both, that it was more to do with his spiritual health that was made whole. He was healed physically and spiritually and forgiven for his sins. And I'm not sure what the other nine, what they were all thinking when the Samaritan started glorifying God. I mean, they had to be in close enough proximity to hear him thanking God that it didn't seem to trigger anything for them. The title, kind of what got me thinking on this, as we read this, and then as we read this story about a week ago, I think, in our devotions at home, and then a couple verses came up that I was reading as well that talked about being unthankful and the category that being unthankful is in. What does it mean to be unthankful? The title of this morning is The Tragedy of Unthankfulness. The one meaning of unthankful is not feeling or showing pleasure, relief, or gratitude. And the one that caught my attention was not showing. We can feel thankful inside, but if we don't say it, if we don't express it, others won't know. Like we said, only 10% came back and thanked Jesus. The others were headed out. So is being unthankful a big deal? How much does the Bible talk about it? It's only used two times, the actual word, unthankful, in the Bible. And we're going to look at both of those in 2 Timothy 3. Is the one place. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incompetent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. So we find unthankful in this list of what we would call mostly really bad things, but yet unthankful is in that list as well. And then in Luke 6:35, it says that God is kind to the unthankful and the evil. So just an interesting placement there of the word unthankful. But if we think about it, there's a lot of things that, if we're thankful for the things that we have, we're not going to struggle with, or not nearly as quickly, with being covetous of or envious of things other people have. But if we're not thankful for what God has given us, then that's going to be a problem. In Romans 1, verse 21, Let's turn to that. It says, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. So as we are thankful in our hearts, it comes out as praise and honor to God and glorifying God. And it's kind of are you thankful first or do you glorify God first? But I think the two go together. And as we're grateful and praising God, it makes us different than, in the world that we're in today, we have a lot of the entitlement mentality where I deserve this, I'm entitled to this, instead of being grateful for what we have. A story I found here that describes just about how humans tend to be, how I tend to be. There's a place in Mexico that there are two springs that geyser up through some rock formations. One of them is a hot spring and one is a cold spring, and they're very close together and they're very regular. And so a lot of the local ladies would take their laundry there to wash it. They would boil it in the hot spring and then they would rinse it out in the cold spring. And there was a tourist there one day watching this and made a comment to his Mexican friend that Mother Nature is pretty generous to supply the hot and the cold both. And the Mexican friend said, no, there's actually a lot of complaining because Mother Nature didn't supply any soap to go with the hot water. And so we can always find something to complain about, always find something to be negative about if that's what we're looking for, instead of being grateful for that the hot and the cold were so close together. And yet we can tend to do the same thing if we're not careful. There was another phrase that I found, or a little saying, said, being grateful and praising God is one of the most countercultural things that we can do. And I think in today's world, if you are upbeat or thankful, you stand out. People usually find something to complain about the first warm day. People are complaining about the hot, and the first cold day, you know, the same person's complaining about the cold. But finding things to be thankful for. We are quick to admit that gratefulness is a virtue, and we all know that, and yet being unthankful is spelled out as something we don't want to do, as a sin. And not only that, God gives us direct commandments to be thankful and to express that. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And even in COVID, even in when our plans get changed and we're not always sure what's going on, we can still find things to be thankful for. And then in Philippians 4, verse 6, says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. We're quick to bring, and I think that's right and good, we should be quick to bring our requests to God, but how often do we include thanksgiving with our requests to God? Gratitude requires not only feeling thankful, but acting on it, living it out, expressing it to the people around us. a question that I came up with is, how often do I feel just overwhelmingly thankful for things around me, for my family, for whatever God has given me? And then more importantly, do I express that to the people around me? And then a quote in closing here says, when we give, it's because we are grateful for how much we have been given. And when we forgive, it's because we remember how much we have been forgiven of. And I think as we remember what we've been forgiven of, and as we live countercultural and are grateful for what God has given us, it's going to overflow to the people around us. So with that, let's kneel for prayer.